The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 27th of August, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin. We were hearing from Daryl from My Careers Options in the first half of the show, and we're going to hear some more from him, I'm sure, as we go on in the second half of the show. And we've got another fabulous guest, Tracy Ferguson, that we're going to be talking to, and we're going to be playing Snap, by the looks of it, with her plucky cards, and we'll tell you all about that as the show unfolds. We've got loads of tweets and emails still to read, though, Jules.
Let me snuggle up to my microphone. It's very far away today. I don't know what's going on.
Cool.
Do you train apprentices, Paul Andrews?
Do I?
Yeah.
No.
Because if you do, you're invited to the first Medway and Kent Apprenticeships Graduation Ceremony, which is the 4th of October, and it's being held at Rochester Cathedral. You can book now. There are 200 places, and it's first come, first serve, they say. You can go on to eventbrite.co.uk. I do believe that it'll be on Kent Business Radio and
it will.
Channel Radio.
I wonder who's hosting that.
Oh, not you.
Oh, yeah, it is. What? Oh, yeah.
He goes to the opening of an envelope, doesn't
he? Yeah, me, yeah.
Yes, you are hosting everything in Kent.
Absolutely.
Now, Fruitworks Community Workspace say they're expanding. They say, hello, Business Bunker, hashtag. Bunker. We have easy access, no long-term commitment, hot desk, fixed desk and small private office space available in the expanded Fruitworks in Canterbury. And you can email hello@fruitworks.co. Has that got just a .co?
It's just a .co.
I hate that when that happens.
I know.
It's
horrible because people go, you forgot the UK.
Yeah, I know.
No. Unfortunately, fruitworks.co.uk and fruitworks.com were both taken by...
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, so we're fruitworks.co.
So we have the same with new markets. We're newmarkets.media.
Yeah.
And people go, .co,
yeah.
Anyway, for details, you can go onto their lovely website, very shiny, sparkling, fruity one, which is fruitworks.co. Thank you for that. And also help bridge the gap between schools and businesses. So in Kent, we offer a practical, let's see who we is. Let's see, hang on. This is Longfield Academy. So they say we offer a practical way for businesses to engage with education through Skills 3030.
No, it's not Longfield. That's where the next one is, Longfield Academy.
Okay, who is this from?
Me and the FSB.
Oh, is it you again?
Yeah, which is what it says on it.
Well, I haven't seen...
It's the 30-30 programme.
Okay. I can't see it's from you. So, anyway, in this two-hour event, businesses here from a local authority and relevant recruitment groups, and Paul Andrews, apparently, while students take part in an employment-related workshop. Both groups get together.
Daryl's heavily involved with this as well.
Are you?
Yeah, yeah.
You can chirp in. In fact, you can read it if you want. But do feel free to chirp in after and tell us about it. Both groups get together for facilitated speed networking. I love that idea. So the programme, for those who are interested, is for business. There's a one-hour networking and presentations. There's the FSB lobbying update. What's a lobbying update, I wonder?
Well, the FSB lobby government on various things.
Right.
So they tell you
what
they're talking about, what they're talking to the government about, why the government are failing us or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure the old Wi-Fi will come up there.
Yeah, yeah.
And transport. So they'll be lobbying and updating you on what they're lobbying about. That's the FSB. Kent Supported Employment Team will be there. Enterprise Advisor Network. Somebody called Paul Andrews. Mm-hmm. He'll be talking on skills and employment. And then for students, there's a one-hour workshop, which is how to present yourself at work, how to stand out in your new job, and how to use LinkedIn to your advantage. And then businesses and students, there'll be a 40-minute facilitated networking and 10 minutes free networking. So by free, they mean you can just amble about and meet who you want to meet, I guess.
Yep.
Which is really good. So people that have inspired you during the talks. Now, you can find out more by actually emailing Alison Palmer, who is the FSB head of
business coordinator. Yeah,
she's alison.palmer, that's p-a-r-m-a-r at fsb.org.uk, and these events are held with the FSB Kent in association with jobsinkent.com and the Business Bunker radio show. And the next event will be, as I said earlier, there's two actually. There's one on the 25th of September at Haysbrook School in Tunbridge. and also the 20th of November, Longfield Academy, Dartford. And you can go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk /30-30 for that.
And the next one after that is in June 2020, and it's at Maskell School at Paddockwood.
Okay. So, Daryl, is Tracy going to be there as well, or just Daryl?
Tracy's been to some as well, haven't you, Tracy?
Not yet, no. I thought
you went to one. I'm absolutely convinced I saw you at one.
No, I've been to a Kent Supported Employment event.
It may have been that.
But Daryl has been, and you are involved.
Yeah.
So just give us a quick rundown.
It's just a good opportunity for the students to have, you know, part of the Gatsby is having one-to-one engagements with employers and sort of having that sort of connection, if you
like.
It's
a nice dynamic.
It is. So approach. In my involvement's generally been in doing the workshop with the students. Yep. So part of the workshop will be around all the things they need to know about actually going to work that people will never tell them, and how they can get on.
It's quite daunting, isn't it, starting work?
It's kind of a bit of an icebreaker for them, really, so that when they do go and meet various employers from different areas, they ask questions and learn and find out. And some of them are really, really good. Some of them are really nervous. Mm. Some have got it all planned out. And it's I found it really refreshing how mature a lot of them are, to be honest with you. They're really good.
I know for my son, and certainly his girlfriend, Mimi, she went through uni and she started a career in HR with KPMG, and she found it really daunting. She's a very, you know, confident girl, but she said, "Oh, Jules, you know, all the girls, you know, just the makeup and the hair and everything, you know, they were very glamorous in London." And she found that quite daunting. And, you know, the budget as well, you know, suddenly having to fit in with career people that have perhaps been working for 5-10 years.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great opportunity for local businesses, obviously, to do a bit of networking, which is great, but also to be able to impart their knowledge and their ideas and their thoughts and stuff to students, because, you know, they're in that bubble of education.
It's a two-way process, though, because it's also a good opportunity for old middle-aged blokes that run businesses to find out what Generation Z want from the workplace. Mm. And it's an eye-opener because it's a learning point for businesses too. As Daryl made reference earlier with Kane and his joining the business and working in a flexible way, we now work in a 24/7 connected world.
Yeah.
And the old, you know, 9-to-5 routine is ridiculous nowadays. Yeah. Nobody works 9-to-5. Yeah. Tracy bothers me on Sunday. No, people send you messages all the time via various means, via various
WhatsApp
social media platforms, WhatsApp, text messages, emails. Your phone is on 24/7 and we get things and we respond to them. We don't work on a clock any longer. Mm. You know, I've spoken to accountants and lawyers, both of whom are time-based organisations in the past, and lots of them are now having to rethink what they do because their customers won't pay for hours. You know, they pay for a job to be done, not how long it took you to do it.
Yeah. Well, I was outraged the other day. I got this mobile call sort of withheld on a Sunday about 9:30 in the morning, and I thought, who the hell's that? You know, I didn't answer it because I'm quite precious about my weekends. I do like my weekends, and then I had the same withheld number about 9:30 on Sunday evening, and it was Kent Police because I'm a witness for something for a horrible event that happened. But you know, so they again work in 24/7, and she's been trying to see me to sign my thingy bob. She has to witness my signature of my account. And it's been about a month now that she's too busy to actually get over for this one signature. And I think, God, in this day and age, surely I can do it online. You know, she's emailed me my statement, but she has to come in person and they're on demand. Mm. But a very odd time to phone. I thought 9:30 Sunday night. Somebody had died. You know?
No, because we work in a 24/7 connected world, and we have to understand that. And that's
by then I'm watching pole dart with a little glass of wine.
But
I don't feel I should.
But that's
speak to the police.
Yeah, but you're probably watching a catch up version of it as well.
Yeah.
And that's part of the whole thing. And that's one of the things I like about 30-30 is it's a two way street. Yeah. Not only do employers tell young people what they want from them, but young people can tell employers how they expect to work for the rest of their career as a Generation Z. Mm. And I like it. And quite right, it is too. We have to become more flexible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to tell you about this. It's an event that's happening, being put together by OASIS, the lovely folks at Operational Accounting Systems. And it's introducing a free reverse VAT crunch time brunch. We're really excited to officially announce our reverse VAT crunch time brunch on Wednesday, the 4th of September at the London Golf Club. The big concept behind the free event is to bring together those in the building and construction sectors who are worried about the implications of reverse charge VAT, which come into effect within the construction industry on the 1st of October this year. Such a large and sudden and it doesn't say this, this is my words, stupid piece of legislation is bound to have an impact on things like cash flow and everyday accounting practices. So understandably, there will be a lot of people in the industry who are panicked and unsure about how to move forward. That's why we'll be breaking down the big issues and concerns around the topic with experts in construction and software solutions. The event is free to attend and will include talks from industry specialists, a Q&A session, an interactive quiz, free brunch, and a great opportunity for B2B networking. If you want to book your free tickets, eventbrite.co.uk/reverse VAT crunch time brunch. Do go along to that. This isn't them, this is me. It's another piece of government interference in the world, which is completely stupidly thought out. It's a ridiculous piece of legislation. It's going to cause mayhem to everybody, and it won't do what it was intended to do. But apart from that, it's brilliant. Yeah, it's just really poorly thought through. HMRC came along and said, do you know what? A lot of subcontracting builders aren't very good at paperwork, and therefore we think we're losing out on VAT. So do you know what? We'll introduce something that's even far more complicated, which is reverse VAT. It's ludicrous. It's the most ludicrous thing since the last ludicrous thing they thought of. But basically, you don't charge VAT if you're a subcontractor in the chain of construction. Except how do you know where you are in the chain? Because you don't. So basically what you have to do, if I understand it correctly, if you're a subcontractor, you don't charge the main contractor VAT, okay? But you show it on the invoice but don't charge it and collect it. However...
That's very complicated.
Well, it gets worse. If the person that you're working for happens to also not be the end... then you do have to charge VAT. However, how do you know that?
Exactly. It's another minefield. You need a good accountant, basically, to help
But it's worse than that. It is, trust me on this, it's stupid. It is the most stupid thing they could possibly have done because it just makes life impossibly complex for people that weren't very good at paperwork in the first place. And I just don't understand what goes through their minds when they think about things like this.
Maybe they need to talk to small businesses first before they start doing all these.
Well, the problem is it's devised by people that understand the VAT system and understand accounting, but they don't understand being a small contractor, subcontractor in the plumbing business. They just don't think about it from the point of view of the end user. Yeah. And the problem with this is that you don't know your place in the chain, but your place in the chain has a direct effect on whether you charge VAT or not and how you claim the VAT back. It's just stupid.
You don't like the idea, Paul Andrews, I can tell.
I just think it's really badly thought out and really badly implemented, and I think it's going to create a lot of it. And not only that, it's also going to wreck a lot of small businesses because a lot of them, and this is what HMRC don't like, but the fact is that a lot of small subcontract construction companies rely on the VAT for their cash flow. So they bill for VAT, get it in as money, and then don't pay their VAT bill for a quarter. So they got a bit of cash flow based on their VAT, but that's all gone. That's gone completely. So a lot of small subbies are not going to have any cash flow either.
Mind you, I did that refurbishment in Faversham, and I had a few run-ins with some contractors. I had a lady who was painting for me, and when I said, I'll pay you direct into your backs, my backs direct, can I have cash? Because I'm only allowed to work so many hours because I'm on benefits. And if I earn, I was furious. She was on 180 a day. She's able to earn £180 a day as a painter and decorator. And she didn't want me to pay it into her account. So I said, I'm sorry, but, this is how it works. So then she gave me somebody else's account. I never employed her again. But that's happening a lot with, certainly I'm seeing it a lot with small contractors.
Mm.
But if you're capable of earning 180 a day, you shouldn't be on benefits, surely. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But you know, this is where government legislation does not cater for the reality of the world. There's n number of things that you can show. You know, universal credit has been a fiasco, and it's been a fiasco because the thinking behind it was clever. The implementation is not. An implementation is a top-down implementation of something, and the problem is that it doesn't cater for individual people's circumstances. Mm. Yeah, so it's created no amount of distress for people that are on benefits that can't get their benefits.
Mm.
And it's because everything's implemented by some amorphous mob a million miles detached from the end user of it. And that's the same with most things implemented by government top-down. And it just, if you want my theory about it, a lot of people, I mean, we've got a lot of politicians at the moment trying to stage a coup and stop Brexit because they don't like it. Mm. And then they're moaning about what they call populism. But it's not populism, it's localism. People don't want to be governed by someone they've never met and doesn't know their circumstances. They want to be able to talk to somebody local that understands what their circumstances are. And we just keep producing daft legislation that does stuff.
You know,
it's like HMRC with a tax clawback from 20 years ago. That's just outrageous.
Yeah, that's another program that we need to have, maybe with some accountants.
Well, funnily enough, actually, I just made contact with someone. I'm about to put together a program with a lady called Joanna, who's she's an academic. She was a university professor, but she actually is an editor for Spiked Online these days, and she's just started a public, I don't know what you call it, movement to actually have our democracy radically changed.
Wow, that sounds mega.
Yeah, so she wants the whole democratic system to be changed, our voting systems.
Don't we all?
Yeah, exactly.
I'd vote for that.
So I'm just about to put together a programme with her on it to talk about exactly what she has in mind for that. So I think
talking
it's important.
Talking of talking, Paul Andrews, I would really like to talk to our next guest, Tracy.
Would you?
I'm desperate to talk.
No.
She's got these cards.
I don't want to talk to her at all.
She's got these cards, Paul Andrews.
I do, but I want to read this email first, and then we're going to talk.
Can we just look at this artwork first of all? Look, can I just show you?
It's lovely, isn't it? Plucky cards. We're going to talk about that very shortly with the lovely Tracy.
Yeah.
And about a number of things that Tracy's involved in.
Well, read as fast as you can.
Just before that, I'm going to read this email, which is the King's Summit Business Scale-Up Conference, which is happening on Thursday the 10th of October between 8 and 4. And it's at the King County Cricket Ground in Canterbury. And it's in partnership with the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce and sponsored by Wilkins Kennedy Accountants and HR Go Recruitment. Are you looking to scale up your business but are not sure where to start? Would you like to achieve over 20% growth in turnover in less than 1 year? Then this is the event for you. It's a full-day conference that will empower you with the knowledge, tools and strategies proven to be highly effective for business growth. Come and learn from the very entrepreneurs that have taken their businesses to a whole new level, who understand the challenges of growing a business and who can provide you with a real and honest insight into the specific growth strategies. We have a fantastic lineup of speakers which consists of men and women who have travelled the journey of both failure and success. Simon Teague, who is an author, co-director of New Level Results and founder of the King's Summit. Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, who's Managing Director of Orchard Employment Law. Stuart Goodwin, who's a dynamic communication coach and public speaker. Julia Bernard Thompson, who's a business sales coach and really good business sales coach too. King James, who's the founder of King's Summit and pastor of the Faber House Church. And Ruth Whitaker, who's the CEO of the Mission Aviation Fellowship. If you want to find out more details and to book a visit, go to www.thekingssummit.com. And there's also going to be a business roundtable and Q&A session that's facilitated by someone or other.
I was talking to Place Changer. That's Galvin.
Sorry?
Place Changer on Twitter. He's, I think he's a councillor, isn't he, over in...
Don't know.
Graham Galvin, is it? Or Galvin? Anyway, I'll look him up.
Galpin.
Do you mean Graham Galpin?
Yeah.
Graham used to be a borough councillor in Ashford.
That's right.
Yeah, but he lost his seat in the last election.
I met him. Well, I was talking to him a while back about how Tankerton, a lovely high street, has, you know, the council have just put the rates up so much. Some lovely, lovely artisan shops are just not surviving. You know, the rates are £1,000 a month.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
You've got to pay for staff and you've got to sell, you know, a lot of little artisan, you know, lovely, gorgeous things for that. So he wants to come on the Business Bunker and have a chat about that one day.
Yeah, absolutely. What you have to recognise is that most local councillors will go, yeah, but it's not our fault, Gov, because it's central government that gets the rent and rates.
Well, in Tankerton, they've just knocked down a row of four shops for flats. They're building apartments.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, but what I was going to tell you is that Whitstable comes under Canterbury.
Yes.
And Canterbury City Council are one of those councils that actually get the rates themselves.
Oh,
so they've got no excuse. Well, it really is their fault.
You know that I really dislike Canterbury Council.
Everyone dislikes Canterbury Council.
You read the front page of KM 2 weeks ago. You'll know.
Everyone dislikes Canterbury Council because they're useless.
And I'm afraid that they take backhanders. Mm. And everybody knows
that. Well, I don't know about that, but they are absolutely useless.
Yeah. Well, it's common knowledge. Locally.
Thank you for that.
Allegedly, the beach got sold for like.
Thank you very much.
Allegedly,
yeah. But they're useless anyway.
Allegedly useless.
No, they're definitely useless.
Okay.
I can vouch for that. They are definitely useless. The Kent and Medway Business Fund offer 0% loans between £50,000 and £500,000 to small and medium-sized businesses in Ashford, Canterbury, Dartford, Dover, Folkestone, Anhythe, Gresham, Maidstone, Medway, Kent and Medway. Why don't you just say Kent and Medway?
Yeah.
Pre-applications are now welcome. Check out the link for more. So it's kent.gov.uk/businessloans and funding. So do find out about 0% loans in Kent and Medway. It's the new business fund. Do you know what? I think it's time now to talk to our next guest. And it's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the show after quite a long time. I think you were last on, wasn't it, Tracy?
At least a month or so. Yeah, a couple of months talking about one of the last careers fairs that he did.
Mm. So, Tracy, you're a careers coach, a motivational coach. You work in association with the Prince's Trust.
Yeah.
You're also you're the organiser of the Jobs in Kent Careers Fairs. And we're going to talk about all of that. But you've also pioneered your cards, Plucky Cards.
Yes.
And we really do want to talk to you about that. So I don't mind where you start, but why don't you tell the listener about all the things that you do and you start where you feel comfortable about starting.
Shall I start off with the Careers Fairs?
So yeah, let's get that out
Jules
of the way.
Jules has already very kindly introduced the Medway Careers Fair for me. So that, as you said, is in association with Jobs in Kent. So Jobs in Kent, it's the 20th year anniversary this year. Mm-hmm. And this is the third Careers Fair this year. And it's all about giving back to the community and doing things a little bit differently. So Daryl's spoken about, you know, his business and the way that they've had to do things differently. And this is, I know, Paul, you'll probably talk about it a little bit later, but changing marketplace, changing job arena out there, and people taking information in different ways. So we have to get out there differently. Mm-hmm. So lovely Charlene, who's the deputy centre manager at the Pentagon, has given us the space there. So it's on the upper floor. And this one is in partnership with the Department of Work and Pensions. So they're really heavily involved, and also Medway Council. So it's really nice as well to get their buy-in for something that's happening in the local community. Mm-hmm. There are going to be over 30 exhibitors, so that is great. And we've had over 20 confirmed so far.
Well done.
So I'm just going to go through some of the people who are confirmed. So IPS International, so Sharon is going to be there, and that's an apprenticeship organisation in, it's over in Rochester.
You know them because you know the lovely Ramsey.
Oh, Ramsey Cowan.
Yeah.
Also known as David Essex.
Yeah. She used to flutter her eyelashes at him when he came on the show.
I have a little frisson when he comes in, Ramsey. Yeah. But if you put a picture of David Essex and Ramsey.
I saw the picture.
They are.
I saw the picture.
This little ski slope nose. And,
yes.
Anyway, Ramsey.
So getting back to the exhibitors. So we've also got the Department of Work and Pensions. So they're going to be talking about their Blue Water Programme. Prince's Trust, the lovely Andrew from New Appointments Group, Medway NHS Foundation, Kent Autistic Trust, Jobs in Canada going to be there, Kent Police, Rosemont Care, Primark, Premier Work Support, Employ Medway, Castleview Training, McDonald's have just confirmed today, Medway Adult Education, RBLI, Premier Inn, UPS, Mid-Kent College, Teacher Training UK, so Joe Toko was on the show?
He was on last week, yeah.
And Vanquist Bank, so a really
huge range.
And yeah. There's still, as we say, about sort of 10. I'll be there as well, so I'm doing the 10-minute workshops around identifying what your strengths are in terms of career and how to write those into your CV, and also an elevator pitch. So how do you answer that question? You know, tell me about yourself. So that is normally the first one that an interviewer will ask you, and most people will either give their life story or not know what to say. So this is very, very, it's literally 30 seconds to a minute, and I've got a template. And at the last careers fair, one of the guys that I did that workshop with, he had an interview in the afternoon, and he thanked me afterwards saying, you know, thank you, I got the job. Yeah, oh. I got the job. So that was brilliant.
So it's the confidence that you gave him.
Mm. Yeah, I think it was timely as well. Yeah. So
fresh in his mind.
Yes, and also research. So you know, research is so important when you're going for a job.
It's what Tracy does on workshops is really, really, really valuable, because again, one of the reasons that we've gone back into doing careers fairs is because those people there's 840,000 unfilled jobs, yet there's still unemployed people. And the reason they're unemployed is because they don't know how to get a job. And that's the crux of it. So what we're trying to do with working with Tracy is get her to impart her knowledge in a very simple way with how you go about getting yourself a job. Because there's people out there with abilities and things that they can do. They just don't know how to do it. Or worse still, they ask parents or people who don't know but think they do and give you the wrong advice, because the world has changed. So it's brilliant.
And you said simple there, and I'm a great believer. And when we talk about the cards, you know, they are a really simple idea. But I'm a great believer in simple works, as long as it's to the point and on point. So we've got a Facebook event page for this, which I launched yesterday. So if you search Medway Careers Fair or myself, Tracy Ferguson Coaching on Facebook, you'll find that. And I believe, Paul, you're going to put it in the link in the blog as well.
Yeah, there's a link in the blog, and the blog is at kentbusinessradio.co.uk/pentagon.
Yeah, and just to say, so again, that is at the Pentagon Centre in Chatham, upper floor, on Thursday the 19th of September from 10 till 3.
Every time you say Pentagon, I just think of the White House. Oh, yeah. You know, I think, wow.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's just as impressive.
Do you know, I've been there as well, Pentagon.
Have you?
Yeah.
For tea?
Mm. And then we have the final careers fair of this year, so that is at Folkestone. So that is on Wednesday the 23rd of October from 10:30 till 3, and that's at the beautiful Grand. I fell in love with that venue.
It's a fantastic venue, isn't it?
As soon as I walked over.
Oh, the Grand, yes.
Not only is it a beautiful venue, but the staff and everybody are brilliant.
Yeah.
They're really
Robert Richardson and Richard Robertson.
I've got confused already. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because he comes to Slopov and every time I speak to him, I think, is it Robert Richardson or Richard Robertson? And his mum and dad must have had a right game when they chose his name. You know?
I haven't met him yet.
Lovely, charming man.
So Wendy, who is the events manager there, has been absolutely amazing, as have the rest of the staff. So that is in partnership with Romney Resource Centre. So Paul was speaking about Romney Resource Centre earlier and the marshes and how difficult it is for people there to find jobs, but also accessibility of jobs. So we really thank them for coming in with us on this.
One just little interesting thing about Romney Marsh. As you know, I did the PR for Riverford for about 12 years. Mm. And actually, Romney Marsh is one of their best areas because of the transport. Mm. So because they do food delivery.
Yes, you said before on a previous and co-op show.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember.
And, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's not a particularly affluent area, you wouldn't think, but it's their best area for, you know, food deliveries.
Yes.
Absolutely. I've just, while Tracy was saying that, I'm just looking up Romney Resource, because I actually tweeted earlier.
They did.
And I need to find out what they tweeted. But
I'm sure we'll find it. Carry on.
So at this one, we do have some exhibitors confirmed already. So there's about 10. There will be 25 plus here. As I say, the venue is beautiful and the Facebook event page will go live on the 20th of September. So after the Medway Careers Fair, because I don't want to confuse people with two Facebook pages running at the same time.
And Folkestone as an area is really thriving, isn't it? And I think the transport is getting better to London. And am I right?
Oh, Folkestone is on a high-speed rail network. No, Folkestone itself is really coming on a pace. I've just found a tweet from Romney Resource Centre and it says, hi, Business Bunker. We hope you have a great show today. The Romney Resource Centre wants you. If you want to help make a difference to people's lives, we are looking for volunteers across all aspects of the organisation. Become a volunteer today. Contact Romney Resource Centre to find out more. And their Twitter handle is Romney Resource. So thank you for that, Tracy. So that's two careers fairs that we've got coming up in September and October at the Pentagon and at the Grand in Folkestone. But I want to talk to you now about your plucky cards. They're fabulous design. They're really gorgeous. Yeah. So first of all, well, what's the best way of starting this?
How did I actually come to?
Well, I wanted to ask about the design.
We're going to do that. But don't, but let's start a logical place. Is what inspired you to do this, and what was the kind of philosophy behind it?
Okay. So if we start right at the beginning, so it was the lovely Kevin Pickering at the Prince's Trust who.
Kazuki Kev on the Twitter.
So I'd been on a because I love learning, and you know, people that know me will know that I just love finding out new things, and I think Paul, you're very much with me on that. And I'd been on it was an online course for, I think I was the only non-teacher on there, and it was about how do we help particularly teenage boys to become more excited about literacy. And I'd got all of these fantastic ideas. I was like thinking, like, somebody at the Prince's Trust must want to take these ideas off me and deliver them. And after about 3 months, Kevin just said, Tracy, why don't you just write a workshop? So I did. Never written a workshop in my life before, although I'd delivered plenty on behalf of the retail organisation that I used to work for. And that was really the start of my journey into workshops, but also finding ways of helping people who find it really difficult to express themselves to get their message across to me, but also for me to help them to understand the messages that I was trying to get across. And one of the things that I do in one of the workshops, so towards the end, we start to celebrate what people are great at. I know for one, it's only in the last couple of years I've been able to talk about what I believe that I'm great at. And a lot of us will talk about what we can't do, but we are unable to say, you know, what we can do, what we aspire to do, and you know, things that we are great, because it's seen as bragging. But actually, if we want to have a great career, if we want to celebrate who we are, then that's something that I think that everybody should be able to do. So these cards are really a really simple way of starting a conversation with people. They don't have to try and drag things out of their head. The cards are there, and there are 75 cards in total with an adjective on. So, for example, what I've put here are my top 10. So I can say, I am loyal, I am positive, I am communicative, and all of these cards that are here. And for me to be able to say that, you know, it's quite a big thing. And also for people at the end of these workshops to be able to celebrate and be able to say, yes, I am this, I am creative, I am passionate, you know, I am good at these things, is really, it's just a wonderful moment. It's a wonderful moment for me. It gives me great joy. And actually to see people smiling and feeling proud of themselves is a really wonderful thing. And I think
it's a very English trait, isn't it, to put yourself down or to, you know, I don't know. And we tend to sort of put down people that do well as well.
I think, so if I look back at, and I've spoken about this before, if I look back, and it's very much in schools, but in careers as well, when I used to go for my one-to-one review with my manager, it was what do you need to improve on? And so our focus has always been, you know, what do we need to get better at and getting better at the things that we're not great at. But actually, why don't we get better at the things that we're really good at? So the people that you've spoken about, so, you know, the great musicians, the great footballers, the great cricketers, what they've done is that they've discovered what their talent is through, you know, things like your program. They've discovered what their talent is and they've really put all of their focus into that. And it doesn't matter that they're not great at something else because there will be somebody else who is good at that. And that's what, you know, the whole society is made up of, people who are good at different things.
It's one of those bizarre things that we just don't seem to understand. I used to do this routine. I used somebody different, but nowadays it wouldn't make any sense because no one would have heard of him. But our school and education system would take someone like Usain Bolt and go, okay, mate, okay, your 100 metres is pretty good, but your cross-country is rubbish. So we're going to put you into remedial cross-country lessons. And what you'd end up with then is a mediocre cross-country runner and a mediocre sprinter. Yeah,
because his focus is taken away from sprinting.
Yeah, yeah. And that is entirely how we go about everything. We go, yeah, well, you're all right at that, but you're rubbish at this. The fact is, I had an appraisal once with a boss that I didn't get on with, okay, when I worked for a bank. And he called me and he went, right, we're going to do your appraisal. And what I want to know is what your weaknesses are. And I said, well, for a first off, that piece of paper you got's not enough. You're going to need at least 4 or 5 notepads for this because I can't speak Russian and I can't fly a plane. And I can't. And he went, no, don't be stupid. I went, no, you want to know my weaknesses. I'm going to tell you every single one, yeah, because it's not about weaknesses. You will never fix people's weaknesses because people's weaknesses are things that they're not interested in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is the thing that drives me nuts, that we never focus on people's strengths. We never focus on people's talents. And we don't focus on what they can do. We always focus on what they can't do, which is just insanely stupid. And that's my opinion.
Yeah. My opinion too. If I can just say, so
hold up some cards.
I had the idea for these cards. I knew what I wanted them to look like. And the wonderful Tammy Clark, who's been on this show, so she illustrated Plucky for me. So I'm truly thankful to her.
And the graphics and illustrations are fantastic.
Yeah,
aren't they?
And oh, beautiful colours. She also did, the colours are my branding colours.
Okay. So they're gorgeous.
Yeah, I very much wanted to represent me, but also the peacock is part of my. Tracy Ferguson coach.
You are a peacock.
Yes. Oh, so definitely. I wanted, and there is a story.
Peahen, please.
There's a story about the peacock.
But we'd all like to be a peacock.
This is
really?
Why it's so important to me. So Paul will know a little bit of my history from a talk that I did at Business Diaries a little while ago. And when I was 18, when I left home, I had a tattoo. When that was back in the days when no women had tattoos, and it was a peacock, and that was about me trying to say to myself somewhere, you know, I am proud of me, and. You know, I am beautiful. I am a beautiful person.
We can't get Tracy to tell us where it is.
It's on my shoulder.
Oh, you're giving it away now.
Yes. So it's always been a part of me and it's very, very important to me. And that's why I wanted. So plucky is an old-fashioned word for brave. So these are all about being brave. Being proud of who you are. And I think that's a very important message.
And this, I call this sort of a turquoisey aquamarine colour.
Yes, what it's aqua.
It's a hugely healing colour in the circles I move in. It's a very healing colour that I actually use a lot and love.
Well,
so you chose that.
I chose that as part of my branding when I set up my Tracy Ferguson coaching business. So Tammy has also designed the or illustrated my little avatar, which I absolutely love. Yeah. And she's also done some illustrations for me for another project that I've got going. And for me, it's really important that, as far as possible, I give my money to local people, so people that I know. So I'm really happy that I've been able to help Tammy in her illustration and design business. So I just want to give you her website. So it's www.itsjusttam.com.
T-A-M.
Yep. TAM.com.
Brilliant.
All of the cards are handmade in the UK. Even the packaging that I send, the boxes that I send the cards out in, is they're made in Suffolk. The printing of the little booklets They're in Essex. So it's really about, as far as possible, you know, giving local people the opportunity to be a part of this as well. And so I've got here, as I say, my my top 10 strengths. So I know that you mentioned the lovely Denise Wilton earlier on. So the cards launched last week, and some people have purchased some of them already. So a couple of my coach friends have bought them, and what they are using them for is in some of the workshops, but also to help clients that they're working with to identify what their core strengths are. So basically, and I did some demonstrations as well, so I've been doing some videos over the weekend to show how I use
How you use them. Yeah, that's what I was interested in.
So if you're working with somebody one-to-one, just go through each card in turn, and they choose, they might end up with a huge pile, but they choose the ones which best represent them. Then we whittle it down to 10.
Is that something they do intuitively?
Yes.
So they go, I feel that my strength is...
They need to be able to say, I am. So, and that has to be something that is really innate, that they really feel defines them. But actually, you know, I could do this in, again, in 3 months' time, and I might have very similar core strengths, but some of my other ones may be different because of what I'm experiencing at that time. So I'm using different resources.
Yeah.
But with Denise, what was really interesting is that she went to see her dad, who's living with dementia, last week, and she went through the cards with him, and he, she put a couple of videos up on social media. He was reminiscing. He held up one of the passionate cards and he was having a bit of a chuckle about, am I passionate? So it was a really lovely tour. I mean, it really, it did. I know I say joy a lot, but it gave me such joy to see that and to hear him and to see his face. But he bought the pack off Denise because he wanted to take it to his dementia club.
And I can that see is, it would work really
that
well
is something
visually.
That I hadn't really thought about. So they work well. So I as I think Paul said, I'm a volunteer mentor with the Prince's Trust. So they work well with some of the young people that I work with who are autistic. So again, you're not having to pull something out of your head. You're not having to think, do I feel that?
It's somewhat drawn to it almost, isn't it?
Yeah. And people will. So and the focus is on the words as well. And I was toying with the idea of doing an adult version with just the words on, but people said to me, no, it's such
the
fun.
Visual,
we love it. We love the visual. We love Plucky, so keep it as it is. And the colours. So let me... I've moved a colour card around. So with the cards, you get a booklet as well, so it shows the way that I use them. So even I'm just talking about with the young people that I work with who are unemployed with the Prince's Trust. So we will choose their top 10 cards that they think best represent them when they're working in a career. So do they like to be creative, for example? And then they will write an interview answer based on something that they've done that's really creative. And we use those as a stock interview answer, you know, that they've got.
One of the things that strikes me about this as well is people are drawn to a trait on there, but I would also guess that once you're drawn to something, so if you picked a card and you said creative, I'm creative, you've actually started a chain of activity then, because once they've identified themselves as being creative, they then look for opportunities to be more creative and to believe that they are creative. And once you believe you are, you are.
So this is the wording is very carefully chosen so that all of these are adjectives. Somebody has to be able to say, I am. When you say, I am, you believe.
You take ownership.
Exactly. And my top strength is creativity. And that has become really important to me in my life. And that's why I do what I do. And it's not so much about making things. I always thought creativity was about making
craft work.
I used to make theatre costumes when I was in my late teens and early 20s. And I thought that was creativity. Actually, for me, it's about creativity of thought. It's about finding different ways to do things.
Yep.
It's about a mathematician can be incredibly creative, and they are incredibly creative. And so... there are, as you can see, different colours on the outside of the card. This is purely my interpretation on what some of the words on the cards would represent. So if you see, for example, on mine, I have got quite heavily red, which is performer. And performer isn't so much about getting up there and performing, because I'm actually very introverted. I don't enjoy being up in front of people. But actually, when I'm really passionate about something, when I know my subject, that sort of takes over that. Everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it, performer is more about somebody having something, some content that they want to share with everybody. So actors, for example, a lot of those, although they may be introverted as well, they will love getting up there and performing. And also I've got some influencer cards as well. So influencer is more about enabling other people to do things. And that's very much, I think it says a lot about me. Interestingly, when I was doing one of the workshops, and one of the people that I was working with had chosen five cards, and he'd got love of learning at the Hezzy's top card. And then he was looking at it, and he just suddenly said, I've just had this light bulb moment. And this is purely through looking at them. And he took that away and he chose sociable instead, because he had realised through looking at these that actually he had been masking what he really wanted, which was to be out there and to get on with people. He'd been hiding behind learning. So again, there are so many things that can be learned just from these cards. And also, I like to give strengths to people. So, Jules,
fun-loving.
Giving you fun-loving. I think that you are one of the most sociable and fun-loving people that I know.
Oh.
And Paul, knowledgeable.
Oh, yes.
So this man, I don't know where you store all of your facts.
I'll make him up.
But well, he's like the mind of an elephant, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, no, so I always think about that. So many things. Mm. And I think part of what I do as well is encourage, if you know somebody and you're working with these, to actually give somebody some cards and articulate what it is about those cards and what you've observed that will help people to understand either something that they didn't realise that they were good at, a talent they've got, or something maybe they haven't really thought about.
It's interesting, both of you, both Daryl and Tracy, one of my observations about things like this is when we talk about the world of work and things like that, we tend to talk in job functions, yeah? But the reality of the world is that it doesn't work like that. We work in talent clusters.
Yeah.
And you have talents that can be used in very different ways. You know, so if you have numerical talents, you might be an accountant, but you might not. Yeah, you might be a computer programmer. Two very different functions using the same talent cluster.
Do you know what I think that is about as well? I think it's about values. So you were talking earlier about driving. So, you know, if one of your values is freedom, then you're not going to want to be in an office-based environment. So I think values as well, and that's one of the projects that I'm working on next, is a set of cards for values, because I do a lot of values work, particularly with young people, to help them to understand what it is that drives them. When you're going into a workplace, if, for example, as I said, one of your values is freedom, then you're not going to want to be sat behind that desk. You're going to want to be driving that van.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's delivering groceries.
Yeah.
We're fast running out of time, so we're going to have to do another program about this. But many years ago, back in the 70s, an organisation called the Richmond Group devised a series of nine talent clusters along those kind of things, and one of them is autonomy. You know, so if you have an autonomy drive, then you want to work in an environment where people don't tell you what to do all the time. So, you know, like a field engineer or a delivery driver's out on the road and away from having somebody look over your shoulder. So those kind of things are really important too. But sadly, we're kind of at the end of a program. So just before we get there, Tracy, if people want to find out more about Plucky Cards and the work you do, what's the best way of finding out about Tracy Ferguson Consulting?
So for Plucky, there is a website, which is www.pluckysworld.com. And for me, I'm on Twitter, so Tazzy64, as Jill said earlier. And you'll find me, Tracy Ferguson Coaching, on Facebook. Or you can email me at tracyfergusoncoaching@gmail.com.
Fantastic. Tracy, thank you so much for that. Jules, just before we go, you've got an email about the Tech Expo, and I'd like you to read that. But you've got to be quick because we're about to shut this show.
Thursday the 26th of September from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. is the Tech Expo. It's a one-day exhibition and seminar bringing together industry experts to help business owners to understand what technology is out there and how to help them. The speakers are Brian Sutton from Microsoft, Richard Bell, CTO of 10 Intelligence, Ben Abbott, CEO of Maximum Media, Will Charlesworth from Child & Child Digital Law, Bill Burton from Dale Carnegie, Being Human in a Digital World. Lots of workshops. Aaron Taylor, CEO of 62 Tech. Mike Hacker, the CEO of Prisma Broadcast. Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media. And you can find more on techexpouk.com.
Fantastic. Thank you. I've had a last minute tweet from On the Doorstep, and they say, Business Bunker, please could you have a shout out for On the Doorstep, growing a network and community for mums in Kent, connecting them with local businesses and support with a magazine release every other month, blogs and active social media. OnTheDoorstep.org is the website, or you can follow them online.